Bob Lang joins us on Sports Byline. He's the fine San Francisco 49ers Director of Public Relations, and as a kid, he grew up in the Philadelphia area where he caddied for 7 years at the Marion Golf Club, where the U.S. Open Golf Championship will be played starting on Thursday. Bob, take me back to those days. Take me back to the Philadelphia area and how you got hooked up at the Marion Club.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on, Ron. It's a pleasure to talk with you again. I got started when I was a sophomore in high school. A family friend who was a member at the club had offered to look into seeing if I could get on there as a junior caddy. I had caddied previously at some other country clubs in the Philadelphia area, but because Marion was literally around the corner from my home, it just seemed like an easy fit for me to get in there and start making some good money as a young kid.
You know, tell me a little bit about what caddies do. You know, I mean, we always hear about them. We see them on the broadcast and the telecasts and everything, but I don't think enough people have an appreciation for what they do. And I'm sure if it's an amateur, it's probably entertaining as well.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a great profession for a young guy to get into, and obviously it's an exciting profession at the professional level. It's light years different at the PGA Tour level compared to what I did as a young kid. But there are obviously similarities. You're not just carrying a bag around a golf club if you're taking the job seriously. At Marion, there is a very big responsibility that's placed on the caddies. As you know, most amateurs will know, courses are typically marked on the sprinkler heads in terms of yardage from that point to the center of the green. Marion has its own little tradition of not having any yardage markings throughout the course. So the first thing you do as a caddy is take that yardage book and memorize it. And you're using the backs of traps, you're using the front of traps, you're using trees and bushes, you're using sprinkler heads, the fourth sprinkler head from the end of the fairway to determine the yardage. This is before the yardage readers that a lot of amateurs use today were really being used when I was back caddying. So a lot of onus was put on the caddies to know the course inside and out.
Bob, you and I have known each other for a long time, and one of the things people in sports usually do is play golf. I'm not one of those because I'm not into self-abuse. But you've been out there with the amateur and everything. What are some of the things that you have seen over your seven-year caddying career?
Well, I've seen specifically on the second hole, I've seen a number of cars going down Ardmore Avenue, which splits the course in half. I've seen a number of windshields cracked. I've seen fellow caddies hit with balls while forecaddying. Myself, I had to jump out of the way a couple of times and never had the luxury of actually taking a golf ball to my body. But, you know, it's honestly, caddying at Marion was a special, special thing because it is a very special place in golf. It's beautiful. I mean, imagine, you know, the luscious brand new carpeting you put down in your home, and that's what the fairway was like walking down the fairways at Marion. You know, and then the next thing I would say is, if you're talking about the fairways being so nice and so lush, you're going to look at the rough as basically a version of steel wool with grass. I mean, it is. I joked with somebody recently that my vision, I believe I have pretty darn good vision. My vision was perfected by looking for golf balls and tracking golf balls at Marion Golf Club.
I know that you caddied for a couple of people, one a good friend of yours, and the other was part of a foursome with the Atlanta Braves. Tell me about that round.
Well, that was an entire day that we spent with the starting foursome of the Atlanta Braves. I believe that was in the probably around 1997 or so. Denny Nagel, Maddox, Smoltz, and Glavin were the foursome, and I had Denny Nagel's bag the entire day. What a great personality, and what good golfers these guys are. I mean, they imagine only having to play, you know, or having to pitch five times a month. Imagine how good your golf game could get. So they were a blast to caddy for. They really love the game. And that was the thing, you know, that I really enjoyed the most caddying at Marion, is how you're out there and you're caddying and you're working with these people and trying to give them some advice, and everybody there that played there took the game very seriously because everybody wanted to put in their best effort when they got a chance to play at Marion because it's such a special place.
Yeah, a friend of mine who's a Major League Baseball player, I said, what is it about golf that attracts so many baseball players? And he said, Ron, it's the only ball you can hit that doesn't move.
That's a great thing. I'll tell you what, you know, you see these athletes and, you know, the hand-eye coordination. I was actually reading something the other day. Ron Jaworski was talking about his experiences at Marion, and someone asked him why quarterbacks are usually pretty good golfers, and it obviously goes to the same thought with baseball players. You know, the hand-eye coordination is so huge. And then obviously the natural athleticism, the natural strength that these professional athletes have allows them to hit the ball a mile. But, you know, and it's funny, I've been to a couple U.S. Opens in the past, and one of the things that I've seen over the years when I've watched Tiger at these events is he is an athlete. And anybody who will argue that professional golfers are not athletes, they're fools. You look at the way Tiger's built. He is built to hit the golf ball a mile. And then the mental capacity that these guys have with not only the 30,000 people on the course watching them make putts, but thinking about the people around the world. I mean, the mental capacity that these guys have, it's awesome. It really is.
One of the things when you were a caddy, you became a photographer many times on the number 18. Explain to everybody the significance of the 18th hole at Marion.
Well, the 18th hole at Marion is a long par 4. You basically hit your drive out of a chute over a quarry. It's a tight chute with trees on both sides. And once you clear that quarry, if you hit a nice drive from the back tees, you're still about 210, 220 yards from the center of the green. And that spot is about 220 yards out is where Ben Hogan hit a famous one-iron shot to force a playoff in a USGA event. I can't remember which event it was off the top of my head. I'm blanking right now. But there's a famous photo that's been nicknamed the Hawk, and it's a shot from behind Ben Hogan as he finishes his follow-through. And it's just a gorgeous shot looking up the fairway from behind Ben. And you can see the Marion clubhouse in the far left corner of the picture. It's actually a photo that once I graduated college and had a couple extra bucks, bought a big, nicely framed print of and have hanging in my home.
It's the 1950 U.S. Open is what
you
were trying to think of, and it was one of the really classic shots. You're absolutely right. Bob, you're around great athletes in football with the San Francisco 49ers. You were with the Eagles. You've seen them across the league and everything. And you take a look at golfers. You take a look at tennis players. You've seen them all. What is the commonality? What are the great ones, the very good athletes do consistently?
Focus, determination, passion, you know, perseverance. And you know what? I think the really, truly great athletes that you see out there are not the ones that are concerned with what people on the outside think. It's the ones that have that internal drive that no matter what anybody else says, if people say that I've reached the pinnacle of my career, what sets the great from the superior athlete are the people that could care less what people on the outside say, that have that drive continually that says, I want to be the best in the game. You know, I get to see that here every day with guys like Patrick Willis and Justin Smith, guys that in the off season are here every day working out and trying to motivate their teammates to be here with them. You know, and just they could care less how much money they've made, how much praise they've gotten. They're out there practicing their game when nobody's looking. And that's what I've been very lucky to see that at the Philadelphia Eagles, at the San Francisco 49ers. And, you know, obviously I haven't worked in the golf world, but to hear the stories about the guys, how serious they take their craft, that's what impresses me about professional athletes.
I would be amiss if I didn't ask you before I let you go in about 40 seconds about the 49ers. They're having mini camps and everything. Have you noticed that maybe the disappointment of not winning the Super Bowl has maybe fired them up a little bit more? They've got maybe a chip, maybe a burning gut feeling this year?
You know what? I think, like I said, I think professional athletes are always highly motivated, but I think it's tough, you know, to really think that these guys don't use that as drive going into the offseason. You know what? Sadly, I was with the Philadelphia Eagles when we lost that Super Bowl in Jacksonville by 3 points, as we did this last year, and it did. It really burned. It burned in the guys' minds and in their hearts, and really, you know, it refocused everybody. And I think the same will go for this team. I think when you get that close to one of your ultimate goals as a professional athlete, as a human being, it stays with you until you get the chance to get back out on the field and right the ship.
Well, listen, enjoy the U.S. Open. Thank you for sharing your memories of a caddy for 7 years. Take care, my friend.
All right. Thanks, Ron.
Bob Lang with us again, fine PR director for the 49ers. We continue on Sports Byline.